Hello, everybody. Welcome to our kind of bonus call here in February for Inner Circle and People Follow members. You know, as a typical matter of course, we typically do not have group conferences on months where we have live meetings, because certainly certainly everybody should be at a live meeting. And certainly, a hyper productive piece of this process. But the today we wanted to spend some time focusing on this renewal process and sort of the renewal prep process in specific. And in a lot of cases, what as far as the business model goes, there are a lot of different ways to operate a martial arts school, right? We've seen most of these methodologies track themselves back either to the 1930s Holiday Health Spa model or the Arthur Murray Art Linkletter Dance School model. And what Arthur Murray and Art Linkletter sort of correctly surmised is that dance is a niche business, not a mass market business like a health club. Therefore, they knew in the dance schools they would never be enrolling 1,000 new members in January. So instead, they had to have a different approach. They had to figure out how to decommoditize their service. Instead of trading dollars for a month of lessons or a month of access to the gym or whatever the case may be, they figured out pretty quickly that they had to build a program and sell that program as a total thing, therefore making term almost irrelevant and therefore separating the commodity product with price, insulating them from price competition, right? So for a greater perspective on that, obviously, we are not a gym. Right? We're not a health club. People have sort of a preconditioned perspective of what that business is, of what that is. They pay, a membership, and maybe it's a year, and they know that they're going to go for about 30 or 45 days and likely never go back again. Many gyms use that exact psychology in their business model.
Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Oliver, how are you?
Good. Trying to get logged into the teleconference line here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not seeing you on the dashboard. There you are.
What's that?
Okay. I said it was interesting. I wasn't seeing you on the dashboard, which was interesting.
Yeah, story of our life from yesterday as well. But a master is with me, so I've got him three-wayed in here.
That's fantastic.
And,
I guess where I was, Mr. Oliver, was, again, we have probably three very distinct groups of folks on the call with us today. Group number one are folks who, at some level, are kind of operating their school kind of like a gym. Trading dollars for a month of lessons, month to month, perhaps 3 or 6 or 12 month options, something like that. At a second level, we have folks who are selling a program, who have a program built, an initial program, and then perhaps even an upgrade program. Perhaps there's not a lot of effectiveness at moving people from the initial program to the upgrade program. And then the third model is people who are following a very similar business model to what we're doing in obviously the franchise organization, where there's an initial orientation program and then at least one or perhaps a couple of levels of higher level programs, and their objective is to move 80-90% of the students into that one. And that then I think frames the conversation for today. How do we do that? How do we accomplish, when someone comes into that initial program, building the initial experience for those customers, for those students, so that they're moved to the higher level program effectively, efficiently, without it being a bait and switch sale, without it being unethical or immoral. Really, it's all about, kind of demonstrating the value. So I think that's what, Master Smith has all but mastered and is useful for us for today.
Yeah, absolutely. For better or worse, I always try to start with mindset about this thing from your perspective. And the perspective on this has really got to be, if you don't have them committed to train with you to black belt and beyond, they're really not going to accomplish very much, right? And it's just like I wouldn't register somebody, whether it's the local local community college or the or Harvard or anything in between. I wouldn't look at somebody going to high school if they weren't planning on graduating. All the conversation I would have with them is about the program to graduation, the same thing is true of college. And so what so many times we do is we think of the martial arts school as like a fitness center or a gym, which, you know, I got to tell you, martial arts or fitness centers and gyms have a horrible track record of anybody who registers as a member accomplishing much of anything. You know, I can tell you, having been in that business 30 years ago for a while, is, you know, 90% of the people who sign up, you know, aren't there 60 days later. We don't want to model a health club or a gym. We want to really think of this as a school. And the reason I like to use academics is that it's something that your students, you can get into the conversation already going on in their head, place the thinking in this way in their head, and they understand it. You know, if you're in the kids market, the parents understand the idea of their kids graduating from high school, going on to college, being accepted into college, you know, being admitted into college with the idea of graduating, not just the idea of, you know, attending for a while. And the adult students understand the same concept. Either they, you know, either they have a college degree or a master's degree or something, or at least they understand the concept. So you can talk to them in such a way that they immediately click it over into a realm in their mind that's outside of soccer league and it's outside of buying a membership in a gym. Puts you into a higher value category, puts you into a more revered status, and they understand it better. So I think the first mindset for us as school owners and for your employees is they either renew and commit to train the black belt and beyond, or they drop out. And there's no such thing as they just keep training month to month and eventually end up being fabulous. They've either got to really make a commitment that they're going to do this, or they don't make a commitment. If they make a commitment to be successful with this, we know that statistically, most of them will end up accomplishing everything that we want to accomplish. The ones that don't is going to be something outside of our control and probably outside of their control. So I think that's the starting point of the mindset. And the other side of it is I think we have a tendency to not revere what it is we do. And when we sit down and think about all the things that we as individuals, as black belts, as senior black belts, have accomplished through martial arts training, then think of all of the accomplishments we've had with our black belt students and what they've accomplished and how much they've turned their life around and so forth. But for some reason, we have a tendency to forget all that and then go, you know, try to go into salesman mode with a new student or with a prospect and not truly internalize the fabulous outcomes that we're going to get for them and why it's in their best interest for them to be part of the family long term. So a large part of the process is about prepping from day one to know that this is a program. Again, this doesn't matter whether you're doing cardio kickboxing or Muay Thai or Krav Maga or mixed martial arts or Taekwondo, you know, or Taekwondo character development for kids. It's all the same mindset. Is if you enroll a 32-year-old male or a 7-year-old girl, and they do this for 6 months, it's just going to have been an entertaining activity, but they do this for 4, 5, 6 years, and really become a part of your family and become part of the, you know, your high-level graduates, they're going to accomplish life-changing benefits. And I think it's so important to think that way going in. And then if all of that is true, and I think we all have a hard time arguing that it's not, if all of that is true, you owe it to them to explain and prep them for why they don't want to, you know, just enroll for a semester, why they want to be registered to graduate and get their, you know, their equivalent of their bachelor's degree. That's what would you add to that analogy before we go into details?
Well, I think the main thing to understand is that the success of a school, I don't care what kind of success you're having, if you're not, if you don't have a black belt program in place, your growth is about 10% of what it could be at best case scenario. Because in our Mahone High School, our basic program is worth, a year of training is worth about $2,500. But then our black belt training is worth about $25,000. So, you know, when you're talking about how valuable is an enrollment and how valuable is a renewal, you know, in dollars and cents, it's night and day difference. Now, you can't get a renewal without an enrollment. So sometimes, you know, is it the egg or the chicken? You know, which comes first? Well, you got to have the enrollment first. But if you don't upgrade them, you've got to get 9 more enrollments to be able to get as much dollar value as 1 more renewal.
Yeah.
And if you look at it like that, then you see why schools with only 10 enrollments might be doing 50 or 60,000. And you say, how is that possible? It's because they have a good tight program of the people that they have coming in. Now, when you get a school that's doing 15 or 20 plus enrollments, then you can see how schools can get into the 80, 90, and 100,000 a month when you're doing those kind of numbers. But at all, you know, if you want to be in that upper echelon, and I call the, you know, the 30 plus schools, you have to have a really tight upgrade program. Without a tight upgrade program, you're destined at best to hit a 30 mark. I've never seen a school do over 30,000 a month without a good upgrade program in place.
Yeah. Well, and interestingly, we have some of our inner circle who are 60 or 70 or 80,000 a month or more who don't. And you can imagine if I'm already doing 50,000 a month without having that system in place, let's say. I mean, that's at least $100,000 school, right?
They have no idea what they're missing.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And maybe from a piece of just perspective-wise, there are in some kind of mindsets, right? And I think you went through the mindset exactly correctly. Some people have an emotional hesitation. And they think that, you know, I don't want to be bait and switching people. I don't want to sell people one thing and then 2 months later try to sell them something differently. And I think, obviously, the approach that we take to that, the strategy that we take to that is the exact opposite of a bait and switch. We do a takeaway. So that's a whole separate argument. But let me say this just for framing purposes. Really, the only reason we don't enroll somebody into what we call our leadership program right in the front door, there's really only one real reason. It's because the actual long-term outcomes that we can accomplish with our students are so deep-reaching, so impactful, that it's almost impossible for the average person, the average parent, the average customer who comes in the front door, it's almost impossible for them to really believe and see that in just a few lessons. So the reality is we put them into that orientation program really as a breeding ground just for them to be able to see the actual results that we actually do get. And once they can see that, then it's easy for us to sell a $359 or, you know, $379 a month leadership program because they see the proof. It's difficult to be able to, frankly, persuade them of that in just a couple of lessons. So it's not about a bait and switch. It's not about how do I, you know, mislead them in the enrollment and then, you know, sell them something better later at all. And we'll discuss that today. But the framing of it is the only reason really not to move them into it immediately is just because if you are really delivering the product that we all know that we can deliver, it's really difficult for the average mom of a 9-year-old who's used to the outcomes of soccer and the outcomes of baseball and the outcomes of a public school or maybe even a private school to really truly believe us, to really believe that we can accomplish what we can really accomplish until they actually see it for themselves, until they're immersed in the culture, until they're surrounded by the success stories that we have to show them. So I think this is a matter of frame. I think that's really important for everybody to kind of grasp and conceptualize. This is really about us proving it to them.
Yeah. Well, and if you think that you're bait and switch, go back and listen to that whole the audios and videos of the sales process from the boot camp we did last year. Because the whole conversation that I was using there is, it was for a child. In Mrs. Jones, the program, you know, takes Joey to black belt and then beyond. takes him 3 or 4 years to be a black belt. He's 7 now, that means he'll be 11 or 12 when he gets his first degree black belt. Obviously, they continue to train to second degree and third degree black belt. We just start with the trial enrollment right now, and we'll do some evaluations to see if we feel comfortable approving him to train to black belt and beyond. I mean, you're telling them what the process is. Now, you're not getting into the minutiae, because if you get into the minutiae, you have a tendency to confuse the person, and a confused prospect never buys. So you don't want to get into the minutiae, but you're telling them right then and there. And then, again, it's on the sales process series, but the minute that they, sign the check and, do the paperwork and you're prepping them for the next lesson, you're explaining to them that, what the process is for the evaluation to decide. And Toby, I talked to a school owner that was at our Atlantic City seminar. On one side, they've got a fairly successful school, meaning they have 300 active students. On the other hand, they're grossing about $30,000 a month and are very excited because about half the students that they enroll, they're enrolling directly in the black belt club. And I was trying to explain to them, well, the problem is that you're enrolling in the black belt club at 189. And we're putting them in the black belt club at least $100 a month higher than most of the people into the program that's double. And it's that prep and process. And as I said, all the way back into the 70s, when we used to do, enrollment straight to black belt club. But the process is, as you're saying, Toby, one of education. The other thing on sales is, see, if you truly think of yourself, and put yourself, the mindset, well, play a little bit, how does the admissions officer at Harvard or Stanford or Yale or Princeton or West Point or Annapolis, how do they talk to the students versus, the image of, of low-end salesmen and used car salesmen, on the junker lot. And even next, if you want to get a differential there, go to the Kia dealer and talk to the salesman, then go to the Porsche or Ferrari dealer or Mercedes dealer and talk to the salesman. And, the two are going to have very different attitudes. And, in our industry right now, by the way, there's the guys who are now running karate schools in Walmart. And the concept here is no different in any industry. I like to use Apple, because obviously they've been on the air for quite a while, but, over the holidays, is the number one selling tablet in the world is iPad 2. The number two selling tablet in the world is the Kindle Fire, and everything else is rounding error. But Amazon's profit margin is 1.4%. Apple's profit margin is 38%, which you want to be. The average Apple retail store is doing $5,000 per square foot, which is $1,500 per square foot more than number two, which is Tiffany's. And the reason that Apple was coming up on having $100 billion in cash in the bank is because they have high profit margins. And Toby, as I'm getting ready to get a new MacBook Pro. It's going to be $2,599, I think. I can get a comparable Windows PC for $799. I don't want the Windows PC. So I'm willing to pay a $1,700 premium because I want their thing. And, the question is, what business do you want to be in? Do you want to be in the 1.4% profit margin business, or do you want to be in the high profit margin? And the only way to do that is continually to improve your average student retention, continually to improve the reputation that you have with your students, and to ultimately have everybody who's new renewed quickly and committed quickly, so you're not putting them in out the back door, so you just put them in the front door. So I think it's a very important consideration. But hey, why don't we shift from the math to really the specific process? So, Master Smith, you have really, the staff that you're supervising, have really perfected what I've been bitching at people to do forever, which is to treat the intro process really as like a 6-8 lesson intro, with the intermediate step being rolling for a year and the final objective to be removed to leadership. And the last I knew the numbers on our training center there in Sterling, was about 87% of new students were renewing within the first couple of months, and about 90% of the students who were renewing were going into the more expensive leadership program as opposed to the fallback. Is that about right still?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, those are wonderful ratios. Walk them through the process from enrollment through to the renewal on what you're doing to get that kind of ratio.
And I think the pre-framing you did and Toby did is very critical to the whole picture, because if you don't have that picture, if you're not getting that whole picture, then you're missing the boat, and you are then selling something that you're not telling them. So, you know, let them know right from the get-go, and we do it right from the first intro. When they come in for that orientation class, you know, we do tell them that we are a black belt school, that all of our students are working towards the black belt. And then we tell them, just like when you go to school, your goal is to graduate. We don't want our kids going to school to drop out in junior high or drop out in, you know, before they get their degree. And our kids who get their high school degree, we expect them to go on and get their college degree. Just like in our karate school, those that get their black belt, we expect them to go on and get their second or third degree black belt. It's kind of like reaching the higher levels of education. So our school is about education. It's about child development. It's about taking a child to another level of training, not just on the physical plane, but on the mental plane. That is the critical thing to pre-frame when you're bringing somebody into your school. Because if you don't talk like that, and then you sign them up for a year, and then you start talking to them about black belt, then they're going to say, well, we're going to just finish out this year, and if he still likes it, then we're going to do it. That's because you didn't put that emphasis on the black belt and what your school was about and why you want to get them to black belt. What are the benefits? We all know the benefits of getting a high school education. We all know the benefits of getting a college education. Why? Because it's been preached to us by our parents, and, you know, every time you go for a job interview, they want to know if you got your, you know, what level of education you've accomplished. And part of that is to see in a job qualification to see how you fit. Well, we want to emphasize our program that's on those same levels, that if you can become a black belt and beyond, then you're going to have, you know, traits that other kids don't have. You're going to have discipline. You're going to have respect. You're going to have confidence, you know, as well as your physical traits and as well as your self-defense confidence. You know, also the social confidence and public speaking and learning how to project. So we try to educate our kids at all levels. So, you know, we're not just the kick and punch school of self-defense, which a lot of the schools out there are doing. You know, if you do a kickboxing class at the gym, you know, a Taibo class or one of those kind of what they call their cardio kickboxing, that's basically what that is. That's an exercise program. And people will pay X amount of dollars for exercise. But when you talk about educating a child and you're talking about giving him life skills that is going to help him become more successful in life, and help him make better grades in school, and teach him how to set goals, and teach him how to be more confident, teach him how to have the confidence to stand up in front of a group of his peers or older, and project and talk and communicate with confidence, now you're talking about a whole new skill set. Now we're on the level of a private school. So I like to think of our schools in the Mile High organization as the private schools of martial arts training. As we know, in our society, public schools are free. They're free because you paid your tax dollars already. So every household has already had money taken. That's what they pay their income tax for. that provides them with a free education. Well, if we can get a free education, why in the world would any parent spend $25,000, or let's say $15,000 to $25,000 a year, and I'm talking about from elementary school up, for private school?
For preschool and up.
Well, even from from first grade on.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Some people, you know, Sheena and Sean, when Sheena was in the first grade, Sean was in preschool, and his preschool was $10,000 a year. Sheena's was $14,000 a year for first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's $25,000. They didn't give me no family discount there.
Plus you were probably paying in your mansion in the Blue Ridge Mountains $20,000, $25,000 a year in property taxes.
Well, let's just say I had plenty of taxes going out.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to educate everybody on is that how would a private school sell that to any parent? We have a program here that you get free, so we're trying to get them to come into our school, and they come in to take a look at it, and they say, how much is the tuition? And they said $14,000, and I said, $14,000? I can go to a elementary school right down from my house. It's only three blocks away. You're almost an hour away from my house, and it's free.
Yeah.
And I've already paid tax dollars. What? You want me to spend $14,000? And guess what? I did it. Why? The same reason people will pay those prices we ask in our school. Because
yeah.
They want the best for their kids. And they are willing to spend it if they see the value in it.
Let's translate also. I mean, the adult market is really the same way. They may come in thinking that it's only about a quick fix to feel more comfortable with defending themselves or to lose 10 pounds or whatever. But as you start to show them how this is really going to make them more successful in everything they do in their life, it's going to help their career. And again, I certainly recommend, I don't know if Carol's on the phone, but we did that teleconference for Carol School for the Adult Krav Maga program. It's all up on the website. Go listen to that, because it's all the same language applied to 32-year-old adult male who's an attorney who's looking at this as the way to go. And I got to tell you, it's hard to get them in the adult market for personal development. It's easy to keep them and to move them into higher and higher price points for personal development. And again, all you have to do is look at the model that Tony Robbins and people like him have, is they're pretty quickly putting people into, you know, $10,000 weekend seminars, you know, $2,000 a month coaching program for just developing their personal perspective by distance. And we can do a much better job at that. So it's the reason you get them in may be a little different, but ultimately what they want to accomplish and want to achieve is the same. Let's shift to this. The schools that we're finding, let's say Inner Circle members who now have the structure in place, have the understanding, have the program set up, still are doing, you know, some of our schools have done too, but, you know, throwing them over the wall essentially in the class, putting them in the beginner's class, and then trying to pull them back out in a couple of months and talk to them about the next thing, rather than really prep them as an elongated intro process. So talk to them about when the enrollment conference is finished, what the next step is, what the appointment process is, and what that system is to get them upgraded.
Well, and again, when you say throw them over the wall and then talk to them in a couple of months, you know, that's very typical of what most of the schools are doing. They usually will say, well, we're not going to renew them yet. We're going to let them go through a few belt levels, and if they like it, then we'll, if they see the benefits, then we'll go ahead and upgrade them. If you take it, take the enrollment process as a step in the renewal process, then you'll look at it differently. You know, if lesson one is their orientation class in the school to find out what your program is all about, and then lesson two is in with the regular class to see what a real class is like, and then lesson three is the enrollment process, then taking it from that enrollment process, we just use that enrollment process as the next step for completing that whole renewal process step. Because we don't look at the enrollment as the ending, we look at the enrollment as a stepping stone to go on to the next level. And again, because it's 10 times as valuable, we want... Now, when I say it's 10 times more valuable, I don't mean just financially. Because people aren't going to sign up for something unless they see the value in it. And one of the best ways to see that value is in a DVD, is in a testimonial letter, is a live testimonial from one of the parents who's already in it, who's already bought it. And, you know, a lot of people buy cars that way. They're looking for a certain car. They talk to a few of their friends that have those kind of cars, or they try to read reviews of people who have those kind of cars to help them decide whether it's worth that much more. Why is it cost so much more? Is it worth it? So it's not the cost. It's the value that's important.
Right.
The reason I say that is because if you are not putting the value in your program, then people are going to find out right away that you're selling something that is not working. So you have to have real results. You have to have testimonials. You know, these car makers that make these expensive Mercedes and BMWs and if you go to the next levels of Ferraris and the Maseratis and the Rolls Royce, I mean, look at the different price points of these cars. When you have the Kia and the Hyundai, you know, for 10 grand to 20 grand, and you got the others from 100 grand and up. So who wants to buy one? One gets you from point A to point B, but the reason is, they're buying quality. They're buying a certain product they're looking for. So we have to make sure that when we enroll somebody, the next step, as Master Oliver said before, was we use the basic program as an orientation, as a trial program, to see if they qualify, and that's the key word. Because every university, how does the university get kids in the university? Most universities, the prestigious universities, people have to qualify to get in that university. They don't just take everybody. And because they have to qualify, they're jumping through hoops. They're filling out, questionnaires. They're filling out resumes. You know, they make it very elaborate. That qualifying process is part of the step that makes it a real program. It's not just anybody, oh, you want in? Okay, you can get in. Oh, who, you want in? Do you have the money? Okay, you can get in. No, everybody has to go through the steps. So let's say they just signed their paperwork. Let's say it was their third trial class. And they signed their paperwork, and they've already gotten their uniform. Of course, they've already been in the regular class, and now they're just signing on the dotted line, making their down payment. Sometimes that happens on the second class. Sometimes that happens on the third class. But after we sign them up, the next step is we're going to set them up for their next class. And everybody picks out the 2 days a week that they're going to come, and we give them the options. Some people like to come three. We allow them to come three, and we put that on their schedule. Some people like to do 2 days, and then they have a third day as a makeup day in case they miss one. So in other words, we've anchored them into a set schedule. So we know when they're going to be there. We don't want the students just to come arbitrarily. You know, a lot of schools say it's like going to the Gold's Gym. You know, you can go anytime you want. Well, great, but what are you going to be your training days? Because you're going to have to work your schedule around those days. So if we want to get them committed to a goal, the first step is we got to get them committed to a blocking out of time so they work everything else around those times. And if you don't do that, you're going to have people that get inconsistent with their training and they drop out and end up not qualifying for black belt training. So we've got them committed to their next class. So we set an appointment to go over what we call their enrollment folder. And the enrollment folder is nothing more than a group of papers that we put together in a little binder that lists a lot of information that we want them to have. And in that folder is some very critical stuff, and this is stuff that is going to get them on the road to black belt qualification. So it's very critical that they bring that with them to every class because they're constantly working on this folder. And kids are used to doing this because most of the kids that go to school have a folder that they bring home that has their work in it and teachers' reports and things like that that they sign and they send back. So it falls right along with the regular system that kids are used to. So in this folder, you know, it's going to have all of our key paperwork, you know, our book club sheets, our self-discipline sheets, our job list, our karate homework sheets, our class schedules in there. There's a student info sheets in there about our character development blocks. There's sheets in there about our street safe, school safe blocks that we'll be doing. There's a important page or two in there of a Q&A with Grandmaster Oliver, where he's talking at the question and answer thing that about black belt training. There's essays of testimonials from our parents. And, of course, with these testimonials, we probably have about 20 testimonials in there. And we know these testimonials well enough that when we're going through this folder with them, now remember, at that enrollment time, we set the appointment to go over this folder. So I don't, the stuff that I'm telling you is kind of what I'm going through with them when I'm going through the folder. We're reiterating their class schedule. We're going through what each of those is and what we'll be doing with it. It talks about the question and answer with Grandmaster Oliver. And in that essays, we're going to find specifically why that parent is here and what the parent wants to get out of the training. We're going to know what kind of kid this is, what age group, male, female, what age in the 3, 4, or 7, 8, or 13, 14, whatever age group. In these testimonials, we have examples that pertain to them, to what that parent is looking for. And we'll say, well, here's a couple testimonials that will be interesting to you because this mother had the same concern with her child. And you can see in this testimonial, and this is just an essay that they did that says what our Mile High Karate program has done for them. And down the road, when your child gets into the program, he'll be doing a testimonial about this too. So you'll get a chance to reiterate the benefits that you get out of the program. So all of those sheets are very important. But at the end of that, what we tell them is that we are going to, and again, at the end of that, second class, when they sign their enrollment paper, we also, an important step that we take them through is we ask the parents, what would you like to see your child working on? And at the end of that, you know, what would you like him to do at home that he maybe has not been doing that would be important to you? Now, this is a great question to ask, because now we have a chance to prove ourselves by finding out what this parent would love to see Johnny be doing at home that Johnny doesn't normally do without a lot of prodding. And whatever that is, we're going to find out, and then we're going to give Johnny the task of doing that between now and the next class he comes back for. And Mom, we want you to write down the days that he does it and what he does. And when they come back, now, we tell Johnny, now Johnny, as a special stripe for doing this, now he's already bought into the stripe system because he got that even in the second and third lesson where he got a blue stripe for doing a self-discipline thing or a blue stripe for reading assignment, things like that. So now he has an opportunity to earn a red stripe. A red stripe is worth 5 of the regular stripes. So Johnny, if you do these things that Mom wants when you come back, I've got a special stripe for you and also a special gift.
Now, Johnny, just to really understand, and again, we can translate all this to the adult markets, but you're scheduling them once they've enrolled for essentially 4 more introductory classes.
Not yet.
Right. And so how are you presenting that to them, and what the process is?
I was just explaining it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So let me back up.
Okay, good.
So you can follow this.
Yeah.
They signed their paperwork. That was probably, let's say, their third class.
Right.
We set up.
And this is the 1 year enrollment. So they've done probably $397 down on a credit card or something like that. They've signed a 12 month contract for $197 a month, and now we're prepping them for the next.
Whatever that. Yeah. And again, price point is whatever you're charging.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, our price points are not going to be realistic to everybody else probably. But whatever price point and whatever your down payment is and your monthly tuition you've already gotten, they've signed the enrollment. We've set them up to go over the student folder. That's where we are. At the end of the folder presentation, I'm asking Mom, what would she like to see him do? Now we're going to set them up. Now, if you want to put this in number of lessons already, the fourth lesson is when we would be going through the folder. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, at the end of that fourth lesson, we've gone through the folder. We've given Johnny an assignment, a special assignment to earn a special stripe, to get a special gift. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now he comes back for that fifth class. Now, if a fifth class, he has to have those things done. If Johnny has done those things, he gets his stripe in the class. We make a big deal out of it. Not only does he get his stripe, but then he gets this special gift at the end. We call them in to the office. Here's his special gift. His gift is a basket. And in this basket, the basket, you know, has popcorn in it, it has a DVD, it has some worksheets in it. And this basket is very important because in this basket is also a card that is good for 4 lessons in our black belt training. Now, these 4 classes, this is going to give him a chance to see what the black belts do. So it's very important, though, that we don't give him that gift, we don't give him that stripe until he's completed those that assignment, that special assignment we just gave him. And why is that so important? That's important because if he hasn't completed those assignments, that's telling me he's not qualified yet for black belt training. See, this is part of taking him through the process of qualifying. So the first step is complete that assignment. The second step is he now gets the gift basket, and we set up a class time in our special, we have a special tutoring class where we get a chance to preview them in black belt training. Now, that's both physically and mentally. They'll get a chance to see some of our leadership skills in action with some public speaking and different things like that. But before they come back, when they come back for that next lesson, we want them to go through and complete these papers. And if he completes both those papers, all the paperwork, and has that turned in, when he turns that back in, he gets 2 red stripes. Now, that's 10 regular stripes. Kids have to work very hard to get those stripes. This is the only time they can earn those stripes. Now, in these worksheets, they're very important because there's a visualization worksheet where there's a picture of a kid that they color in and they color a belt on him and all of this. There's a see it, believe it, and achieve it sheet. There's a, you know, that in that see it, believe it, and achieve it, there's a family with parents and there's thought bubbles above them. You know the paper I'm talking about, Master Oliver?
Yeah. And some of these things, the video that you're talking about, the DVD, that's up on the member site where they can view it and get a sense of it. I think some of these other pieces that people have seen, you guys are welcome to take a look at milehighblackbelt.com as an example. Don't copy anything there directly. It's all proprietary, but you can get the sense, especially for the kids' steps. But anyway, go ahead, Matt.
So, and there's also, we also put a couple of bottles of Gatorade in there, too, so they have basically, in the basket. The reason we want to do that is because we tell them we want them to have a movie night at home.
Mm-hmm.
And we want mom and dad and the kids all to sit down, and they can drink their Gatorade, eat some popcorn, and watch the DVD. And that's going to talk about our black belt training and what it means to be a black belt in Mile High Karate. And that's a very powerful DVD. But these worksheets that we're giving them is also very powerful. What we started doing on our DVDs, you know, the DVD, we don't care how long they keep the DVD, but what we do is we put a return date on the DVD. You know, we used to just give it to them, and then we'd keep asking them, have you seen it? Well, I didn't get a chance to yet. Did you see it? Didn't get a chance to. When we started giving them a strike for viewing it and doing these papers, then all of a sudden they came back very quickly.
Yeah.
By putting a return date for the DVD, and we just put a little sticker on the DVD and say return by, and it's kind of like when you rent a movie from Blockbuster, and it says you have 3 days to view it or you pay a penalty. Well, before they used to say you can just view it and when you finish it, bring it back. Well, people then brought the damn thing back because they didn't get a chance to view it because they didn't have a date that had to be viewed by. When they finally cut it down to 1 day, now people are watching them in 1 day and bringing them back by 9 o'clock the next day. It's all in what you say is the date. So we put give them a few days, 3 or 4 days to view it and complete these worksheets. And these worksheets are very important because the parents in those worksheets get a chance to view and the DVD and get some ideas what it's about. And then we tell them before they do the essay sheet, I mean the family paint, you know, coloring sheet with the bubbles on it, and they're going to put in those thought things, some of the questions they have. Before they do that, we tell them that we want them to make sure they see the DVD. There's also a student-parent essay. And you know what paper I'm talking about there, Master Oliver, where it has the line down the middle. There's some questions, and it has a kid answers it and a parent answers it. So they have their own kind of questions. And they're also going to do what Mile High has done so far for me and what their goals and what they expect to get out of it. So it has some things like that. So we want them to complete that essay. We want them to do the visualization worksheet. We want them to do that see it, believe it, and achieve it sheet with the family bubbles. But we tell them, make sure you do that after the DVD and after reading the questionnaire, because we put another copy that was in their folder, that Q&A with Grandmaster Oliver, because that answers a lot of the questions that you might put in your essay that will already be answered in the DVD or that paper. And then along with that, we also hand select about 5 essays that are specific to that child situation. So male, female, what age, you know, younger, older, etc. And so they have to complete all that for their 2 stripes. And with that basket, we have that 4 lesson card where we get a chance now to get them in that, what we call the real renewal tutoring. And the 4-step process from that point of checking off those classes is kind of like the same way we did of putting them through like a 3-step renewal, a 3-step enrollment. By giving it a few steps now, we have a way to track it so we know when to close them. If they're not closed, to give them another class. If they're not closed, to extend it another class, etc. So it kind of allows you to pick and choose the time of exactly when you want to go through the numbers with them.
Exactly. Hey, why don't we stop right there for a second and see if anybody has any questions. Does anybody have any questions so far on the process or need any clarification on kind of how all this works?
Is everybody muted?
Could be. Toby?
Is it just me and you, Master Oliver?
Could be.
Everyone's muted. You just have to hit *6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted, and you can jump right in. *6 on your phone, unmute you.
I must have done a hell of a job.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Clara Miner.
Yeah, Clara.
Hello? Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
I came in on the phone call late, and I'm wondering if this will be up on the website.
Yeah, we're recording it, so
Close
it up there for you.
Okay, I won't ask any other questions. Thank you.
Yeah, you better catch it from the front, so you can kind of see where we are at this point.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, thanks.
Well, you know, let me summarize so far, Master Smith, is what you're talking about, I imagine, for most people, seems like an awful lot of work when I'm used to being happy that I got them enrolled, throwing them in the class, and checking up on them in a month or so. But it's the reason why, again, you know, our rule of thumb is somewhere between 75 and 90% of the revenue from the school should really be from the renewal revenue, not from just, you know, continuing to try to beat the bushes and get new enrollments in. And it is the more difficult thing to systematize for most schools. Part of it is it's difficult to get the staff and the owners into a mindset of doing this right. But number two is it's really expanding the introductory process to make it, really the first month rather than just getting them to sign a contract the first time. But were there any good questions so far? I mean, is this making sense? Okay. Well,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
This is Carol. Yep. You know, I sort of thought that we were supposed to let them get used to the school and really see the benefits. But this sounds like that within probably less than a month, and maybe less, they're at the point where they're looking at renewing. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And the thing is, I mean, really, the logic of the thing is, you know, you wouldn't be enrolling here in the school if the objective wasn't to graduate and to achieve at a high level. What that means here is to get to your black belt. Now, obviously, it's a pretty big commitment on our part to commit to get you there. So we walk through a couple of steps and some evaluation processes to make sure you qualify for that. And so, the other thing that happens, Carol, is that, see, like, if you take, like, the old EFC approach, and I know you guys have been EFC members way back, but, you know, they used to talk about the half-moon theory. And so,
right.
You know, you enroll for 12 months, you know, they're ready to renew at the middle point. Well, see, that was a lot better than waiting until the end of 12 months to renew them. But it really is too late. And what happens is, Master Smith's analogy that I picked up, you know, probably 25 years ago, was that it's like thumping a melon, right? You pick it when it's ripe. Well, the time they're most excited about being a new martial arts student is when they just enrolled, when it's new. And the time that is best to get them committed long term is early on into the program. And if you let it go beyond the point at which, you know, you should have gotten it, which is again, you know, perhaps 8 to 16 lessons in almost all cases. If you let it go beyond that point, they get harder and harder and harder. It's also when we go through and take a school that hasn't had the higher level program. When you do a renewal blitz, you do it from the bottom up more so than the top down, meaning the white belts are easier to renew than the gold belts are easier to renew than the green belts are a hell of a lot easier to renew than the brown belts. So you really want to be thinking about that. Really, the mission of enrolling them is to renew them. The mission of renewing them is to get them black belt.
Now, what I would say, Master Oliver, because for a lot of people, it's hard to, if they haven't had a renewal program in place at all, and they jump to this type of renewal program, I think they're going to die in the water. I think what has to happen is, you know, a good transition is to, first of all, let all your people know that you are a black belt school. And transition two is then to let them know that they can get all the black belt training, that they don't wait till the end of their program to do it, and the sooner they do it, the sooner they get to be on black belt training. Everybody wants to train like a black belt. One of the concepts that I found completely changed our renewal procedure around was when we started special classes if you're in black belt training. So that way they didn't do the same class as somebody that was in basic training. So by having what we call the rotating curriculum, or level 1, level 2, level 3, and black belt training, these type of classes, rather than just dividing it by belt, you divide it by are they in master club training, you know, black belt training, leadership, or are they in basic training? And if they're in basic training, they have their own set of classes. If they're in black belt training, they have a different set of classes. And in those classes, they get to learn more stuff. And they get to learn stuff specifically that will get them to black belt. Now, my analogy for this, and the way I explain it to the parents, is this. When a kid goes to college, his freshman year, he's going to take basic classes because he doesn't know what he wants to get his degree in. But sometimes during that first year, he's going to decide that he wants to major in engineering, or he wants to major
and medicine. He wants to become a doctor. He wants to become a lawyer, or he wants to become an engineer or an accountant. But whatever he wants to major in, he will then, even in that freshman year, start taking classes that are going to help him get a degree in that major. Well, that's what we do in the karate school. Once we find out a student wants to become a black belt, then we're going to start teaching him special classes that are going to help him get to black belt. Now, in college, you need basic classes anyway. But there's some kids that are in their sophomore year that are taking third-year level courses on some things because they took a lot of their major classes in their first year. So they're a lot more advanced than some of the other kids who went through that whole first year as a freshman and didn't take any classes that would help them get towards their major. So it's all in educating them. And what is the process to get to black belt? Well, to get to black belt, you have to learn things that are more advanced that are just in the basic class. But even though they're advanced, we break them down into different levels. We have level 1, level 2, level 3. So they learn them at the level that is to their belt level. You know, I tell the parents, you know, when a kid goes to elementary school, what does he learn? English, math, science. What about junior high school? What does he learn? English, math, science. And what about high school? English, math, science, history, you know, those kind of things. But remember, he learns all those same things as a elementary school, but it's just broken down, taught at a different level. That's the same thing with our black belt training. We teach it at a different level. That's why we have a level 1 black belt training class. We have a level 2. We have a level 3. So they're able to work up through those different levels.
And to interrupt you for a second, Mr. Smith, we're going to run out of time pretty quick, but the other thing to maybe point out that's implicit in what you're talking about is there's really two things that are involved in this. One is a new student making a commitment to, you know, essentially go through the entire program and to, you know, to graduate and move to new higher levels. The second thing that's implicit is that the reason they're moving into these new higher levels is mostly not about new physical stuff. So it's not about there's a new, you know, Taekwondo form or a new, you know, move you get to learn or a new weapon you get to learn or something like that. Now, that can all be incorporated into it. And so we differentiate, for instance, Master Club and the lower level program with some Eskrima they wouldn't be doing and so forth, you know, otherwise. But that's not why they're paying an extra, say, $200 a month. They're paying the extra $200 a month for the expanded benefit that they're receiving for the program, for instance, leadership development, confidence, and learning how to effectively work with the team. But they're paying it for that, not for some new martial arts thing that they're going to learn. But we do throw that stuff in just to have it be fun and exciting.
We have a rotating curriculum. It will be hard. I'll need to talk to somebody to figure out how do we go from that to taking people and they're not going to get all that. Because in the rotating curriculum, they're at level 1, level 2, level 3, and then they're ready for their black belt. So we're going to have to, like, not let people have something. I'm not sure how that's done.
In practical terms, what we do is we enroll them for a year, but there's an orientation class that essentially has 4 months of curriculum at each rotation. With the expectation, but with the expectation that worst case, at the end of the 4 months, that they're, you know, that they're accepted in and committed to train to black belt, and therefore they get to move up into the level 1 class. If they don't commit to train to black belt, they stay in that orientation class, and so. They don't just like keep moving up in the curriculum unless they've decided to move forward. And you know, and truthfully, a lot of people have a hard time getting their arms around that. But high school is the same way. You know, you have the VOTEC track, where they're learning, you know, some technical skills and not really very academic. And you have kind of the, you know, the middle of the road high school graduate track, and then you have the college prep class, and then you have the college prep honors, which are, you know, the guys that are going to go to Harvard or some iteration, you know, a few steps below that. And it's the same thing is, you know, if I'm committed to go to a high-end college at a high level, you know, I'm doing, you know, honors calculus 1 and 2 and all that kind of stuff. And if I'm, you know, if they're hoping that I might get my high school degree and go on to a technical trade, then, you know, they start prepping you for that. So it's really no different than that. I mean, and that's done in the public schools. So you do want to look at it that they're either committed to training the black belt or not. And I started presenting it that, you know, a lot of what we would do at the 7th or 8th month of a program doesn't make any sense at all if you're going to drop out of the 12th month. But is preparatory work for what happens in year 2 and year 3. So if you're not committed to year 2 and year 3, why should we teach you, you know, in our case, why should we teach you 3 traditional Taekwondo forms that all you're going to do is for, you know, forget, and it isn't going to, you know, do much for your developmental work if you're just going to do this for a year and then off to another activity. Does that make sense, Carol?
Oh, yeah, that's radical. But it's great.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah,
it takes some redoing here.
Yeah. Well, it's also why, you know, ultimately the mission is with 300 students to be doing 100,000 a month. You know, and to have those students really committed and focused. And, you know, Toby says, or Matt Smith, I think, said earlier, is, you know, we have a few of our friends who do 7, 8, 9 enrollments a month and grow 60, 70, 80,000 a month. But it's because they're so efficient on the renewal commitment and retention that, you know, that each student is worth $7,000 or $10,000 each. So it's really focusing on that high level. Good. Any other questions? I know we're going to run out of time here. We're a little over our time. But.
Yes, Matt Oliver?
Yes.
This is Jeff Steele from King Tiger Martial Arts and from Virginia Beach. So what you're telling me then is they're going immediately from that 12-month program into the leadership program?
Yes.
Okay, they don't even go, they don't even touch Black Belt Club.
Well, you know, in the case of what Matt Smith is talking about, is Black Belt Club would be the fallback position, right?
Got
you. So, you know, so you're in your case right now, you're charging $169 a month. So let's say that the leadership program is $297 a month, and the Black Belt program is, let's say, it's $239 a month. And
gotcha.
So you would, your target would be, and again, the number I used earlier was 90%, is
right.
80 or 90% of the students go directly into higher level programs. The only ones that end up in the lower level are mostly just purely financial. So they just can't quite make the stretch to the next thing, and so you have a fallback position for them.
And they can go all the way through the ranks of black belt still, or no?
Say it again, Carol.
If they're in the fallback program, they can still get their black belt, or no?
Yeah. For the peak performing inner circle, really what we recommend is that you have a black belt club and you have a leadership program. And both of them takes you the first degree black belt. Of course, some of the schools like, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I want it to be 9 years, or, you know, the way the Krav guys think about it is that might be at some intermediate point, right?
Mm-hmm.
In practical terms, what we do for the franchise schools is leadership takes the second degree black belt. And what Master Smith has been doing more recently is Master Club takes them to first degree black belt, leadership takes them to second degree black belt.
Mm-hmm.
So the vast majority of people on our side were enrolling them straight to second degree black belt. That's probably too much of a leap for most of the people who don't have all of the additional tools that we have for franchisees. But what you do want to think of is that there's two ways to get there. The conversation is about training the black belt and making that commitment, and there's two ways of getting there. and the higher priced one is a more robust curriculum, meaning not that they come 5 days a week, and in practical terms, we deliver the difference in the curriculum in an extra 15 minutes every class. But it's about an expanded level of leadership development and teamwork. And of course, as we go to West Point this year and look at that through the year, you know, everybody will be getting a lot of ideas for both language patterns and conversation, but, you know, for frequent implementation as well.
So they're getting 15 minutes more per class, and if they're coming three times a week, they're getting 45 minutes extra a week.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and be careful, too. You know, Michelle, I've seen this get off the rails a bit. See, that number one, the extra 15 minutes obviously is never really a selling proposition. I mean, that's just a feature,
no,
not a benefit. It's almost never a part of the conversation. But also, it's really not even practically accurate. So it's accurate, but not complete. It's not that you're only going to be teaching the leadership students the leadership lessons in 15 minutes at the end of the class. You've got the entire class to do that. You just have to manage your class appropriately. So there's no reason in the world why you couldn't and shouldn't, and in fact, probably do it every class. Segment the class into a couple of groups. You have the Master Club students working on their material. The leadership students are working on their material. And now the leadership students get to practice their leadership skills by helping the Master Club students with whatever that particular leadership lesson is of the month, right? So it's not, you're not segmenting off and only delivering 15 minutes of extra content to those students. It's about managing the entire experience.
Let me phrase it differently, Toby. Is what a lot of people try to do is they try to make the selling point is you now get to come 3 days a week, and now you get to come 4 days a week, and now you get to come 5 days a week. Well, that backfires because in the kids market, the biggest problem you have is the mom is running 28 different places and goes, ooh, you know, we have to be here 4 days a week. I don't know if I can do that. I mean, it's not only not a selling point, it's a negative.
Oh, yeah.
And so the other thing, Toby, is the leadership development process, and again, in the sales conversation, what you're not doing is telling them that the great benefit of this thing is they now have to drive down to school 4 times a week, right? So you're eliminating that from your conversation. It's why a lot of the MMA schools, they do, you know, if you come 2 classes a week at this month, 3 classes a week at this month, 4 classes a week through this month, even the guys who are doing the things in the Walmart, I had this conversation with them extensively. They thought that they were going to get people to sign up for 6 days a week. In reality, they all want to come twice a week, you know, one class each time they come. So even that, you know, in that environment, that silly concept is working the way it always works.
And again, if you rewind the conversation all the way back to the beginning, I think right as you guys are plugging in, it really is a variant difference in how you're perceiving the business. I would recommend that we aren't in the health club business. We're in more of the, I guess, dance school business, if you're going to play the parallel.
We're a school. We're not a club or a gym, and it's also why, regardless of what your target market is, as soon as you start treating it like a gym, using language like a gym, having the teachers and instructors be thought of as coaches, having them in a non-revered position, it all starts to fall apart. All of the things that we've learned through martial arts for 30 years is that people want a strong leadership figure in the floor. They want to be respectful. They want to have traditions and so forth. And again, one of the things you see in the U.S. military, and you'll see at West Point, is they have an enormous number of little traditions, procedures, and events that are tightly orchestrated. And when you lose that, when things become too casual, when people are on a first-name basis, when there's not behavioral expectations enforced, then it all starts to fall apart. And part of what falls apart is the perception of value is low, and therefore it's hard to get somebody to pay $300-$500 a month for that thing. Anyway, we're about out of time, and we could expand on this topic again and probably should next month. But, you know, hopefully this is giving you a starting point. Matt, anything you would say to wrap up real quick before we're We were going to do about an hour, so we're about an hour and 15 now.
I would just tell everybody to remember that this is to expand your thinking about renewal, not to completely don't go from A to Z in one step. You've got to kind of work your way through it.
Yeah.
So don't go crazy.
Well, and the important thing is to start behaving differently with the next new enrollment you bring in and start thinking in terms of that's just an intermediate step into the higher level of renewal, and you're going to be prepping them and avoid at all cases with the next new person coming in the door of throwing them over the wall and trying to pull them back out of class in a couple of months. Because all that does is let them think in terms of, I enrolled for a year, I wonder what I'll do next year. You don't want to let them end up in that mindset.
That's correct. And the other thing to do is to really start building yourself as a universal school, and everybody is working towards the black belt.
Well, that's right. And you know, internationally, I mean, that's, people recognize, you know, bachelor's degree, master's degree, PhD, and they recognize black belt. And it's the problem when you use, you know, other language unrelated to that. And even if it's a cardio kickboxing program or whatever, you've got to have those recognized symbols of achievement, something that's high enough and exciting enough that I want to drive towards, something that's really pushing me to achieve its highest level. Good. Matt Miller, anything to wrap up?
I don't think so. I think we're in good shape. We're going to see everybody in Orlando in just a couple of weeks. So you should have an email in your inbox about the entire outline for that event and more on the way.
Absolutely. Sounds fabulous. And I would just remind everybody, you can't be sending us too much information about what's going on daily, weekly, monthly about your school. The more prep Master Milroy and I are, you know, before we do our one-on-one calls, the more focused and productive we can be. And, you know, if you're not getting us that information about what's working well and, frankly, what's not working well, it's hard to delve in and find all the missing opportunities. Well, very good. Well, thank you, Grandmaster Smith, and thank you, Master Milroy. And we'll see everybody in Orlando. I hope we have 100% participation there. And I would remind you that we do need a pretty good head count, but I would suggest key staff members are always very useful to have them sit in on that content. Thank you much, sir.
See you soon, you guys. Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.